Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. After a 3-month break, we are back. We talk summer highs and lows, races we've run, books we've read, and what else is coming up as we head into autumn.
Hello!
Yay!
We're back.
We're back and we have wine.
This could end really well or be quite messy.
Yes, well, thankfully we've only got half a bottle left downstairs. But we are trying our first episode with alcohol.
Hooray! Yay.
Given that I start slurring after about 2 glasses of wine, this is going to be really fun.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing where this takes us.
This might be a 10-minute episode. But yeah, we're back, and it's been a while. I think our last episode was in June or July, I can't remember.
So we've had the summer off.
Oh, I remembered when it was. It was definitely June, because we tried to record a Brexit episode, and it wasn't really put outable.
We're too sad.
Yeah,
too angry.
Too sad.
Maybe one day that'll be like an outtakes episode. Yeah. When everyone can look
one
back and laugh.
One day we'll be able to talk about it, but today is still not that day.
No, it really isn't. So, we've had some time. How do we feel?
I feel much better now.
Invigorated.
Yeah, invigorated. We just needed a bit of chill time over the summer to kind of regroup and refill the love, because, yeah, takes a lot of effort this sometimes, and
it's hard work, people. Yeah. But we're happy that we've heard from so many of you.
Yeah,
please stay in touch, please share with us your running news and updates, because we haven't heard from you guys. What have you been doing all summer?
Yeah, that would be really good. Yeah, it was really nice to hear some people message us or like ask us in person where we'd been. So, hi people that are actually bothered.
Thanks.
Yay, really nice. So yeah, let's talk about how our summers have been.
So Lissy, tell me, what was your summer high?
That it was summer. Like, summer's just great.
Is it your favourite season?
Oh, by far, sure, definitely. Mm. I want to move somewhere where it's summer all year round. Somewhere where it's summer all year round. See, it's happening already. Oh my god.
Have some more wine.
Yeah, but the absolute high of the highs was spending my birthday in Ibiza.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah, spent a week there, which was amazing. It's probably like one of my favourite holidays ever.
Amazing.
And
how did you see in your actual birthday?
My actual birthday, I spent in the rain.
Oh.
It was the one day of the week it rained, so I spent most of it inside watching the rain, and I was quite hungover on my birthday, even though before I went, the one thing I said was, the one day I don't want to be hungover is my birthday.
Oh. Did you do that thing where you had the big party the night before?
Yeah, I got overexcited and was like, got to midnight and I was like, yay, no, it's my birthday.
Exactly. So you just celebrated a little bit early.
Yeah. Spent the most of it watching the rain, then had a little play in the pool, and then I almost didn't go out on my birthday because I was like, I'm just too tired. All I want to do is sit on the sofa with a cup of tea. I just need a blanket. And everyone that I was with was like, no. So I had an espresso martini, which it turns out like are life-giving. Oh my god, so good.
They always do the trick.
Oh, perk you up and then yeah, make you a bit tipsy. Great. Ended up in DC10, which if anyone knows anything about Ibiza, is probably the last place I thought I'd end up on my birthday. It's quite heavy.
Yeah, like you know when they talk about like hard house?
Yeah.
That's where I feel like that's the kind
it
of
it was so loud that my throat was vibrating.
Yeah, did you feel like you've come back from Ibiza a little bit deaf?
Yeah, no, I actually feel like I've come back in a better shape than I did last year when I only went for 5 days.
Mm.
I think like the longevity gives you stamina.
You just completely converted to the Ibiza lifestyle.
Yeah, basically. Just completely moved my body clock. It was all good. It's fine.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
What about a low?
Well, actually, we just mentioned it. I think my lows had to be Brexit because...
Mm. It was in the summer, wasn't it?
It was in the summer, yeah. It was actually quite hot the day that it happened. But I, without being melodramatic, think that I did actually go into a bit of a weird funk for about a month after that happened. I was just like, oh my god, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing in this country? Well, like, how is this happening? Like, I just got really sucked into being, like, sad about it. Mm. It had quite a big impact on me. Especially when it was all over the news. So, yeah, didn't enjoy that very much.
I feel like you could feel that effect around London as well.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in general, like, the whole place just went a bit sad.
Yeah, and everybody felt a little bit... I felt like that was the kind of responses you were seeing from lots of people.
Yeah.
And everybody felt a little bit like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Or, you know, I certainly felt like
that. Yeah, a lot. It was kind of like, I can't believe this is being made to happen to us when we don't want it to happen kind of thing.
Mm. You just feel a bit wronged.
Yeah. But I think it's kind of perked up a bit since then. Like, obviously, nothing's really happened yet, so we're all kind of still in limbo.
And that's where I kind of start to think, I wonder how it will play out, if it will be a little bit like that, where they go, oh, this big thing's happened, and then they go, oh, we'll just sweep that under the carpet a little
bit. It's like, going to be a bit like, oh, yeah, ignore this. I don't know.
Yeah, which might be a bad thing.
How about you? Start with a low.
Well, I think, yeah, Brexit's up there. Also, the Brexit of the Bake Off news.
Oh.
Obviously, probably second to Brexit.
At the other end of summer.
Yeah, the other end of summer. There's been bookended by terrible...
by
exiting news. But, on the extreme level, things like Brexit have been very difficult to deal with, and I think at any time of year would have been the worst. Mine is definitely summer related low was just that my office doesn't have any air conditioning, and I really, really love the summer and I really love the heat. I don't really love the heat when I'm sat at a desk and trying to do my work.
Yeah.
Experienced it. It felt like I've not stopped, like a small sheen of sweat has been all over me solidly. And it's been great to have those really hot days, but not when you're sat at my desk. And someone even sat next to me when we were having like a meeting at my desk, and she was like, it's even hotter in your corner than it is on the other side of the room. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah, just got the hot spot.
Yeah, yeah. I found the hottest point in the office. Fab.
Yeah, I don't have that problem as my office is a constant temperature regardless of what is going on outside. So I can't tell sometimes if it's hot. Although, I did work from home yesterday and I couldn't stay outside for more than 45 minutes because it was so hot.
Then it's too hot. You can't really win.
So yeah, if that was inside all the time, I probably wouldn't deal with it very well.
Yeah, it makes you feel very
although,
weird.
Although, probably more use out of all your summer clothes.
Mm. I have not carried a jumper or worn a jumper at work for
weeks or months.
Or jeans.
Leave the house like it's summer and then get to work and I have to keep like jumpers in my drawer to put on.
Yeah. Yeah, not the case at mine. Oh, no, no. You're finding ways to wear less clothes. It's like how... Like, there's been a lot of discussion
like
at work
about... appropriate
yeah,
can you go?
There's been a lot of discussion at work about how office appropriate you can be and, like, how short the skirt can go because you're just so hot. Mm, joys. But,
hi.
You know, hi. I think tying in nicely to summer vibes is, like, being able to utilise those, like sunny mornings
yeah.
and light evenings. I've really felt like this summer I tried to eke out as much of that time as possible and like make use of it. Even if it was just like sitting outside. So I just done stuff like I took my breakfast to the park, like because I don't have a garden or anything. And just being able to sit outside has made so much difference. So just tried to be outdoors as much as possible.
Yeah.
And squeezed in a couple of like nice day trippy things. Like going to Love Box was really fun. Like doing a day festival. And we did a day where we like... got the train out of town and did a cycle trip and it was like pretending you were on holiday. Like yeah. I was in a bikini in like Kent. So weird.
Nice.
So weird. But yeah, it's fun to feel like you can have like mini adventures in the summer that don't feel as possible in the winter.
Yeah. And the nights are definitely nighttime now.
It's getting dark really quickly.
Like rapidly.
But it's that funny thing at the moment where it's really warm. But
yeah.
It's also really, it's got dark really quickly because yeah. You can't quite enjoy it.
Definitely having to start carrying my bike lights around all the time.
Well, as discussed, I've managed to lose one today. So RIP the shit bike lights.
Mid-September, bike lights gone.
Yeah, it does highlight the fact that I've been moaning about how bad they are.
So. I think this is a good thing. So
I was literally about
ones.
To buy some. I really, even this morning, I was like, oh, I could go via the shop and buy some. It knew, it's like the world, it's like a very serendipitous, it's time.
So as well as being all summery and holidaying and festivaling, we've actually done some running as well.
Mm. Yeah. Look how surprised I sound.
I know.
Yeah, we did.
Shocking for two people that do a running podcast.
Well, you know.
Well, if you'd listened to our last few episodes, it is actually quite weird. Don't worry, people. The swearing is about to happen.
Yeah. Hey, have you still got those? So we've... I think we covered like the big... I haven't done much in the middle of the summer... The beginning of the summer, we did Hackney. Well, I did not do Hackney. I did Hackney and died. And I think that basically put me off for the entire summer.
We spoke about Hackney already, didn't we?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
that put a bit
Moving
of a,
on.
That didn't go so well. But what one have you done in the last couple of weeks?
So last weekend, I ran Stockholm Half.
Ooh.
In Sweden, obviously. Yeah. I don't know how... I don't like to... I moan a lot on this podcast, but now I feel like all that previous moaning was just like a build-up to how much I hated this race.
I feel a bit like... Because I think, you know, we'd come to a place where you definitely knew you didn't like marathons.
Yeah.
But now I feel a bit sad that you were also like, I definitely don't like half marathons.
Do you know what? I was saying this last night. I'm at a point where I never want to run a marathon again, and I'm maybe getting that way with half marathons. At least for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it's just that thing of doing too many.
Like, admittedly, I did no training, so I kind of have myself to blame. But equally, it's not like I've done nothing. I do exercise, so I thought I'd be... Do you know what, though? It wasn't even my body that hated it, because I actually feel fine afterwards, and I probably feel in better physical shape after this one than I did my last half marathon.
Mm.
It's just... emotionally it was horrible. Hated it. And I think, yeah, like you said to me, it's because I knew that I didn't want to do it from the beginning.
Yeah, it's just like me with that Reading one. It was all in my head. Oh, not Reading, Hackney was more like that, where yeah. I pretty much knew from the I just didn't want to do it.
I was like,
and if you can't get yourself out of that,
I was about 30 seconds away from not bothering to do it at all, and I was like, oh, screw it, I'm here, I might as well. and it was really, really hot. It was like 24 degrees, which for me is
we know never
hot,
good.
Never good. Too pasty for that temperature. Mm-hmm. It was really hilly, which I'm really mad about because the course description said it was an easy race, perfect for first time half marathoners.
Everyone says that. Every race, like, marketing person, they all say it.
Whoever
and it's
wrote
never
that,
true. It's never
whoever
true.
Wrote that has clearly never
ran the course.
Ran the course or run one that's actually easy, and they've run harder ones and they thought, oh yeah, that's easy. I'm like, well no, actually a flat course is easy, not an effing hilly one. And also it was really, really busy the whole way around, like super busy right until the whole thing. And it got really narrow and I got really elbowed, and yeah, I was just very, I got really angry. And
I don't like being crowded.
No, I got it. I didn't think I was a claustrophobic person, but that race has taught me that maybe I actually am a little bit.
I think probably with the mind frame you were in, it never, if you're a little bit grumpy,
it made
when you're
me
running.
Really antsy. And even had a panic attack at like 12k, which was nice. And then again, a few k later, we're like proper having to stop at the side of the road, sit down, put my
breathe
head like,
out. Ooh. How did you keep going?
I don't know.
Normally that's the bit when someone goes, maybe not now.
Yeah.
Normally they
like,
haul you off the side.
This is a great time for it to happen when you're already struggling to breathe. Like,
yeah. Then it's really, it's amazing you overcome this. I think you're not giving yourself enough credit.
All I can describe it as is like, if you're breathing normally, you can breathe from like your mouth to your like belly button, say. But when I'm having a panic attack, I can breathe from like my mouth to like, is this an Adam's apple? I don't have one because I'm a girl.
But like, that feeling of like,
about there.
The base of your throat.
Yeah. Like that's how far I had to breathe. So yeah, that was nice.
So like the point you even carried on and you finished it and you got the medal and you managed to get a cinnamon bun after, like, take that away. Like, if that's the thing, I think you can hate the experience, and it really is like, can be sometimes one of the worst, you still achieved it, and so many people would have bailed at that point.
Do you know how I know that I hated it? Because I had that medal on my neck for about 2 minutes after
you literally
the race.
Like, don't care.
And I didn't even, usually I like keep it, I keep it on for as long as possible, and I look at it, like I got home and I realised I hadn't even looked at it properly. I got it out of my bag when I was unpacking. I was like, oh yeah, oh that's what it looks like.
Didn't
like,
feel
yeah,
you
that's,
had a connection.
No connection to it at all. And I was like, oh, that's how I know that I really hated it. And just felt very kind of like drained by the whole thing.
But I feel like you're able to find, you know, like that, you want that feeling of like nailing stuff. Like, the whole thing with Barry's and, like, the winning the One Rebel, like, getting the dinner and things, just shows maybe you're finding your, like, fitness kicks in other ways.
Yeah.
Now. Like, it doesn't have to be all about running.
Yeah, I think so.
Running podcast.
Yeah. Fitness podcast, maybe.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think I still like it, and I like going to, like, park run and stuff, but I just don't like the, yeah, I don't know what it
the
is.
Intensity of it,
the,
I reckon.
The, like, pressure of events like that. Which is weird, because I used to think I only liked big races, but maybe that's becoming less of the case.
Interesting.
But yeah.
Maybe, like, have a little, you know... Well, like, last year when you were, like, not doing any more races, maybe it's time for a mix-up of, like, the type of race.
Yeah. Let's talk about this later when we talk about what we're looking forward to.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. My race, probably less of a detailed race. Like, it was a bit of a throwaway. Well, that's really mean of it. It was really
less
nice
traumatic.
Less traumatic, maybe. Well, it took me enough mental strength, but more because I was originally doing it with someone and then they couldn't go, so I was doing it on my own. And I was feeling so it was the run through races, which we talk about a lot. I think they're brilliantly organised, and they're great because they are like max 500 people going around a London park.
Yeah, they're super chill,
so they're
super
really
nice.
Nicely organized, and that's kind of why I love them. I think that's what I'm finding. I really like, you feel like it's quite community driven, and you don't feel lost in a big crowd. And they're really chill about, you know, you just drop your bag, there's a bathroom, there's no massive queue, like all that sort of stuff. And it was the Clapham Common one, which from my house is a bit like heading west, so there was a bit of a, do I cycle there? Does that make my life a lot more complicated? And in the end, didn't do that. And I found some sort of amazing transport route that got me there really quickly. And actually, that was like the best thing that could have happened, because it meant that I arrived in such a chill way. Like, went and had a coffee and then was like, oh yeah, I'm doing a race. All right.
Nice.
And it was 10K. It was three laps of the park. Didn't really appreciate that. However, we have both run that Clapham Common a race around there before.
Oh, yeah.
At least it was not in the shape of a snowflake.
That was the worst.
Because it didn't contain quite so many out and backs,
yeah.
Which was very important. And actually, I bumped into a really good friend of mine who, in comedy fashion, we had been discussing whether we'd meet for brunch that day because she lives around there. And she was like, oh, I can't... I'm busy. It turned out she was doing the race and then she was going for lunch somewhere else.
Right.
So it was really nice that we managed to catch up a bit at the beginning, which is really
cool.
We're
like, busy, hey?
Yeah, yeah. We was like, busy. Oh, we're busy at the same thing. She was like, oh, when I thought you were going to be around Clapham Common, I thought we'd probably be at the same thing. That was weird. But it was really nice to catch up and then did our three laps diligently. They've got some terrible race photos of me, actually. Although there is a really funny one where at the end, there were a couple of women who'd sort of like overtaken me near the end, you know, and there's that like last push. And then I thought, oh, well, on the results, there's that thing where, you know, you get like a number for what woman you were over the line. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just try and overtake them. And I overtook both of them, but really quite close to the finish line. And I felt a bit bad that I'd basically gone, no, I need to get in front of you. The photo of me for the race finish is that you can see that glint in my eye of like, I'm going to overtake you. And the poor woman in front's got no clue. She was just merrily finishing. She's really happily finishing her 10K and I'm like elbowing her out of the way in a brutal way. But yeah, it wasn't a PB, but it was... like hard, and I actually came away really achy, and I felt like I must have tried. I was definitely trying, and that's where I felt a little bit like, oh, I've not got what I had. But then what is it that I had, you know? Like, I think it's just a comfortableness that I've lost a little bit. So we live and we try.
Yeah,
but I'd recommend those races.
No, they're really good. I actually did the Greenwich one 6 weeks ago, which again I was like adamant that I didn't want to run. I don't know why I keep turning up to these races that I don't want to do.
You have to start positive thinking around running.
But no, that turned out really nicely. But basically, probably both of them were because I was running with Charlie and she just, you know, is relentlessly cheery.
That's true. I like how you tried to break our friend Charlie.
I did. I was such a bitch during that race. I was like a child.
Sometimes these things just like stay on the course.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say
actually
anymore.
I definitely once our friend Charlie got me round that Geneva half marathon, and I definitely swore at her quite well. I swore very loudly, very shouty near the end, and she thought I was swearing at her. I was not, but I can never like let the look on her face leave me. She really did think I just told her to fuck off. I was like, no, it's not you.
Not you. Just
I'm just really angry.
But no, if you do need a like very lovely and very kind of like keep you on track personal trainer, look her up.
She is the one.
If she can get me round a half marathon, she can get anyone doing anything.
Round anything.
Yeah, any kind of task or fitness related challenge you have. Oh my God.
She's the one.
Yeah, I was... not in a good place, which is funny because she's obviously told someone that I had a tough race, but she didn't go into any detail because they texted me today saying, yeah, Charlie mentioned you might have not really enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, bless her, saying that I might not have really enjoyed it when really I was like, fuck you.
She's so sensitive. She's so careful. So now we've covered all of the fun things we've been up to, our fitness exploits. I feel something I've particularly achieved this summer is remembering how to read a book.
Yes, I know.
I feel so proud. I feel so proud. I nailed like 5 books on holiday.
Oh, yay.
I think this was because it was like a conscious effort.
Mm.
But you do get out of the habit.
Yeah, definitely. So I've kind of got a bit behind with my at least one book a month task. What month are we in now? We're in September, so I need to have read 9. I'm probably on 6, maybe 7. So yeah, I need to catch up a bit. But
that's not too bad.
Yeah, I think winter will be a good time to
get back in the swing.
Get back in.
What are you reading at the moment?
So over the weekend, over the 2 flights, I read. This is going to involve more swearing. I do apologise. The Life Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck.
I want to read this.
Which is obviously kind of. I thought it was a spoof of The Life Changing Magic of Tidying, which I love. And I would have been quite upset if she'd have kind of
taken the mick out of it.
But basically, she said that she read that book and she actually really enjoyed it. And she was kind of like applying the same philosophy to life, not just tidying, which I kind of appreciated straight away that she was like, no, that was a really good book and I enjoyed it. And therefore, there's loads more we can do with this.
Rather than she just kind of expanded it into like the rest of your life. Almost.
Rather than what a joke, which I thought it might be.
That's really good.
But no, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I think I've actually taken quite a lot from it already. In fact, I know I have, because it's evidenced on my bedroom wall in the form of, like, some lists.
Great.
Yeah.
What kind of thing, what would be your, like, recommendations? Like, what could I start thinking about? I like a tip bit.
So basically, the thing you have to do is, well, it splits you kind of it down into four sections. Mm-hmm. So it's things, work, friends and acquaintances, and then family.
Mm.
And you have to write lists of, in all those categories, about things you may or may not give a fuck about. So it could be anything, like stuff you do and don't, just anything that comes into your mind as thoughts. And then at one point you go through and you kind of like cross off all the things that you don't give a fuck about. And then you're left with a nice list of, like, these are all the things that you do care about. But obviously, if you just did this now, it wouldn't work, because the process of reading the book, you actually go into it a lot more detail and everything, and you get examples, rah, rah, rah. But no, I found it a really good process.
I want to read the book.
Yes. If anyone does end up seeing the list, it's a fascinating insight into the workings of my mind.
Do you know, one of the things that has held me back from doing lots of that kind of stuff, I think this centres around some sort of like childhood experience of someone reading my diary.
Mm.
And I feel often very nervous to write down things like that.
Yeah.
And I've never felt able to, like, even with my phone, I've never really written notes that are like, that feel quite like personal detail.
Mm.
I might write vague things, but I don't tend to write down like almost like I read something that was like, you could write down like your circle of friends and how you'll remember to keep in touch with them and stuff. And I always feel really aware of that. Like, I feel very exposed by writing it down.
Because you'd feel weird if someone else read it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm not able to like keep those things in my head, or not very good at like keeping a handle on that mental process. So therefore, it would be a really good idea for me to write it down.
Yeah.
And I've only just started doing that. And like, I'm trying to like do it in a notebook and keep it. Like, almost like I feel funny about having that out and about. Yeah, so putting it on your wall is like amazing for you, because you need it in front of you every day to remember.
Yeah, definitely. And it's weird though, because if anyone tries to listen to this podcast in front of me or read anything that I've written in front of me, I literally cannot deal with it. I have to leave the room.
No, I suppose it's just about vulnerability, isn't it? Because you're exposing yourself. Yeah, like, I find it very strange if I hear my own voice on here. Or I hear what we talked about and I'm like, what did we talk about?
But no, I really, really enjoyed that. And yes, I've basically only read non-fiction this year.
Oh, I've just picked up a bit more fiction. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm also in the middle of, oh my God, what's the Cycle Courier book called?
Oh yeah, isn't it called is it something to do with Brick Lane? Or have I made that up?
It's around that area, but oh my God, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, that one.
Mm.
I'll find it out and put it in the notes. I'm also halfway through Maranifesto. Because, I don't know, it got a bit...
shouty.
I was disappointed with how much old stuff was in it.
Ooh.
And I think the second half is new stuff, but I hadn't got to it yet. And it's basically all her old Times columns in a book. Yeah, and then she gets onto new stuff. So I was kind of a bit like, oh, this is disappointing. I thought it'd be more new stuff.
Mm.
And I read Becoming by Laura Jane Williams on holiday, which is really good. And I'm about to read Emma Gallen's book,
The Control Out Delete.
Yeah.
Interested to know what you think about both of those. I'm in two minds whether I want to read them. I'm not sure why.
Becoming, I swung wildly between, this is really self-obsessed of her to write, to, oh my God, I totally agree with everything you're saying, I can see myself in this so much, which was really weird, like, contradiction, because I was like, oh, in a way it might have been like, oh, I wish I'd written this, because I actually could write something similar, kind of thing.
Well, that's really funny you say that, because I was chatting to a friend yesterday about Control Out Delete, and actually the thing I said was, I feel like it will annoy me because I think it's the book I could have written, I think it's the thing I could write about, because actually if I look around, we are of that generation. And that's almost why I'm like, I think that's why it bothers me, which is really bad, because of course, like, she wrote it, that's great, like, I didn't.
I felt a bit the same about Becoming as well, because I was like, you're similar age to me and you've got a book out, so in a way I think I'm just jealous, because
I'm like, where's my book?
why can't I write this? But at the same time, that's amazing that you're my age and you've got a book out and I'm reading it and relating to it, because
that's
the whole
be.
point.
Interesting you say that, because one of the books I read over my holiday was Big Magic, the Elizabeth Gilbert book, which is, she's the writer of Eat, Pray, Love, And Big Magic is her concept around being a creative, like, it's something like ways to lead your creative life. And it's about, it's not just about writing, it's about creativity in general. But actually, she references when people say, oh, like, kind of like, you stole my idea, or that was my idea and someone's written my that book, or they've done the film that I thought of. And she, her whole attitude was like, well, that idea just might have passed you by, like it you know, wafted past you and you didn't pick it up. And whether that was because it wasn't the right time or you just didn't listen, and someone else has done that, you can't, you know, you don't own that, you don't have the credit to that idea. That's, it's just, you missed the boat type thing. And I kind of like, she has such a matter-of-fact attitude about all that stuff. And I really like how she's not precious about creativity or ideas. It's very much like accepting of it being a very human process, but perhaps letting yourself, by being kind of more open to the concept of ideas coming to you and you listening to this, there's an element, she treats it like that's the magic. The magic is like being able to let yourself go and be open to those things coming knocking on your door. And you then, but the human practical bit of it is then you going, okay, I'm going to do this, and actually sitting down and doing it. And when it's frustrating, accepting that that's part of the process, and not just being like, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it. Which I think, if I've ever gone down any kind of route like that, often I hit the blocker and I'm like, I just can't do it, it's too hard. And then I start going, oh, it's not good enough, or someone's already done this, or why would I talk about it if someone else has already talked about it? So it just shows that, I think that her, I'd recommend her book from, even as people, if you don't feel a person who needs a creative outlet, it kind of reassures you that it's good to know that everybody has creativity in their own way.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Yes. I'm going to add that to my ridiculously growing list.
Yeah.
I almost bought, actually after Emma Gallen's book, my next book is Amy Schumer. I've read Amy Poehler's book. Yeah. Amy Schumer's book.
Was Amy Schumer the one you saw in concert?
Yes.
Well, you know, not
went
concert,
to her stand-up at the O2 a couple of weeks ago.
How was it?
It was great. I love her, but she was smashed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, do you think she was it was because of the nerves?
Yeah, she said like this is like the biggest gig of her tour so far, and she hadn't drunk for like 5 nights because she was like saving up for this one.
Oh god.
And like, obviously that's kind of her persona anyway, those that she's kind of like a drunk whatever, but usually she's quite like put together when you see her stand up, and this one you could just tell that she was a bit
fast and loose.
Yeah. And I mean, she totally got away with it because it's her style, and she was still like switched on enough to kind of like deal with any kind of things that got thrown at her. But yeah, it was quite funny. But no, I love her.
Ah, cool. Yeah, I'd like to read her book.
Yeah. I've read some good stuff about it, actually. I read the review that was in the Sunday Times magazine a couple of weeks ago, and it said, it's kind of trashy, but kind of good, so...
Don't know I'm just starting, because there was one book I didn't finish on holiday, so now I'm about to start that. But I'm in fiction, so I read Brick Lane while I was on holiday, which I would so recommend. It's like set in London, around Brick Lane, around Columbia Road, Mile End, but it's all about a Bangladeshi woman's arranged marriage, that she's 18, moves to London, and it's about her experiences of being in arranged marriage but living in a country where she doesn't even speak the language. And it was just really fascinating, and such like an insight into an experience of living on Brick Lane in like early 2000s. And the kind of like racial tension, the cultures, like the culture clash that can happen in anywhere, and how sometimes in London it just really boils up. But then I'm starting A Single Man, which is the one, it's Eric Isherwood, I think, the writer, but it's there was a film of it a couple of years ago with Colin Firth and the Tom Ford, so it's like really beautifully shot, because it's all Tom Ford. But so far I
have
actually
seen the film.
Yeah.
Oh, you have.
So, and I feel like that's maybe one of the things that's making me find it slightly hard to start the book, because I kind of know what the film, you know, like when you're a bit like, you kind of know what the story is. But I've read the intro, I've read the foreword, and the foreword's written by Tom Ford. And it's quite interesting, just because Tom Ford clearly is like a proper mega fan of this author. And the way he writes the foreword is just like, I met him once and I don't think I actually made an impression on him, and I really, really wanted to. And his estate gave him like the approval for the film and stuff. But he felt like, he was like, he just never, you know, I never knew if he'd love the work I've done. And you can just, it sometimes when someone like that, who's like a, you know, really successful fashion designer who made a beautifully crafted film, is real, shows his vulnerability and shows his kind of like fandom, and it just made me kind of chuckle. It like reminded me that everyone's a fangirl at some point. I quite like that. But yeah, I've literally read the first page, so I can't really say much about it. I'm so pleased that we're reading again.
Me too.
Yay.
Yes, definitely trying to get into it. I haven't, still haven't decided if I'm a Kindle or book fan. I'm kind of in between the two still. I think I like both, depending on my mood, so.
Depends, I suppose, if you need to move it around, like how much you're travelling with it.
Yeah.
Carrying the 4 or 5 books I read on my holiday was quite annoying, having hard copies.
But no, we'll probably bring this back as a regular or semi-regular slot, talking about books. So we'll add our Goodreads profiles to the show notes, and yeah, join in, tell us recommendations and stuff.
Yeah, and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, it'll be good. And the final thing we're going to talk about today is looking forward. So yeah, we've had a bit of a break, and now we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to, running wise. Is it running wise or just generally?
Maybe we should do both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, change of seasons. The run up to Christmas is approaching.
Oh, don't. So I'm not really looking forward to that. I'm definitely not ready to let go of summer. I'm like clinging on for dear life. Like clinging.
we can try for a little bit longer.
It's so hot tonight again,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, at least for the next
like
2 days.
I'm sweating right now. My bedroom's like a furnace. So.
There you are.
I don't feel like it's going to be autumn soon, but it will literally just one day be like, okay,
the
it's
leaves
cold now.
Are turning.
Yeah. We are drinking red wine though, so we're getting into the autumnal feeling.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's maybe one of my things. Maybe I'm getting into the idea of cosiness. Like glasses of wine round fires, roasts.
I mean, I like all that stuff, but I also like having my legs out, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm not ready
to not do that yet. I might cling on to bare legs till October. I'm not giving it up.
That's what, I have a thing like that around socks. Like, I always feel, normally by the end of the summer, I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, a nice pair of socks, like a comfort, nice foot comfort. But not felt like that.
No.
Haven't worn enough, haven't been barefoot enough.
I'm still in that phase where I have to put my feet in the cold water before I go to bed because I'm so hot.
Cool off.
Yeah. Running wise, I alluded to it earlier, I'm signed up for Amsterdam Half. Haven't decided whether I hate running enough to not run it yet. I think I'm going to do it because so many people I know are going and running it, but I just don't want it to be a repeat of Stockholm.
I think if you're going to do that, you should commit to this thought now and be positive about it. You got through the last one, so now let's look at how you can make this one a little bit less painful.
I think I'm going to give myself until the end of Sunday to decide one way or the other.
Yeah.
And then that gives me 4 weeks to...
Yeah, like go with it.
Do a little bit of, you know... Obviously, running. I'm not going to... What do you say?
Running?
Running. But I'm not going to... In 4 weeks, I can't, like, make myself... you know, get a PB, but I can do enough running that I, you know,
yeah,
don't hate life.
But as we say, your fitness is there, so
I just need to do more running. That's the problem. I just like other stuff more, so yeah, I'm gonna make a decision on Sunday, even though it's probably the worst day to do it because I'm gonna be hungover. Sunday night, Monday morning,
maybe Monday morning.
What about you? What are you looking forward to? Have you signed up to another marathon yet?
No, I haven't. And actually, that is on my to-do list of things to ponder and to look at. I think I do want to do one, but not too soon. And probably not. It'll be like, if anything, it'll probably be this time next year.
Yeah.
And I know I'm well, actually, because I think I'm trying to make sure I come out at the end of this year not feeling a bit like I've dithered around, because I feel a bit like that. I think that I had far too many goals in the last couple of years between weddings and houses and whatnot. And this year has felt a little bit like limbo.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought all the time when I was planning for all that other stuff, I thought it was like I was making really busy and it was too much. And I probably moaned about that all the time. And this year I've moaned about not having enough, like feeling a bit listless. So I've given myself some little objectives, which are basically things like, well, I've signed up to dancing again. Going to a ballet class,
yay,
which is really like,
oh, it's so good.
It's good for this, you know, when it like I don't know, maybe it's just like it's helping the, it's like being a child again. Yeah. It's that feeling of like discipline and doing something really, really familiar.
Yeah, exactly, because you've done so much of it before, it's just kind of a nice thing to go back to.
It really made me like, I've only been to one class so far, but it like, it was like getting inside a safety, like as hard as it was, and as like I was like, I'm so out of touch with this, it feels like putting on a really comfortable jacket.
Yeah.
And I'm so like, you can just let yourself, like that's where I can just let my brain, I don't need to do anything, I just get told what to do and I do that. And I kind of like that, so that's quite a good escape. And I want to be a bit, so the reading stuff for sure, and a bit more like, I always talk about, I've been talking about doing a course or studying something for bloody ages, and I'm so sick of I've talked myself into being sick of talking about it, so I'm getting on and doing it. And I'm like, I'm at the point now where I've like shortlisted a few, and it's just a bit which one I'm going to go
with. Cool. So that's really good.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm being proactive. I'm just going to stop talking about something. I'm just going to do it.
I'm kind of feeling the opposite, in that all the stuff that happened in Stockholm made me realise how, I don't think it was just the running thing that made me feel like that during the race. It was just a like culmination of just having so much on all the time.
Yeah.
And just not having any spare time at all.
Yeah.
And I'd agreed to do some more like extracurricular stuff for a friend on the side, and it just made me realise that I can't like pile that on top.
Yeah.
And I was doing some other website stuff for a football website last season, and I've stopped doing that because it's another thing that at like 10:30 at night I just can do without, basically.
Yeah.
So that, along with reading the book, has just made me kind of like strip back and think like, what are the things that I actually really want to make time for, and what are the things that I'm just doing because I've just said yes for the sake of it, or I've been like, oh yeah, I've got time for that, even though I haven't. And like, what's the stuff that's actually going to properly add value? So I'm hoping I'll have a bit more time for like actually running, doing, you know, having some chill time. Interestingly, one of the things I realised that is that I like literally don't care about following TV shows, and I always feel this like weird guilt that I'm not like watching Netflix all the time because everyone's watching it, or like everyone's watching Bake Off and I'm not talking about it. And I was like, I actually don't care.
Yeah, how funny isn't it when you just really go like, I don't really mind though.
There's one if that yeah, happens we were or just not talking about Strictly, and that's the one TV show that I actually like watching. And do you know what I realised? Because the intro show was on the other week, and I literally watched it with a smile on my face for like the whole 90 minutes, and I was like, this is how you should feel when you're doing something like this.
Yeah,
like I watch it and I'm like, this is making me feel so happy, whereas everything else on TV I'm like, I'm just watching this for the sake of it.
Well, I find when I'm not interested in it, like when it's like I'm sort of just, oh, I'm watching it, I don't actually watch it. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened in it. I won't be able to recall any of it because I will have been totally distracted, whether that's doing something else or literally my brain is like planning.
Yeah, you're just looking at the screen but nothing's going in.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a slight aside, but kind of,
no, I think it's kind really of on theme because it kind of reflects like why we've had this time off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been like, for me, I've just been rolling around being listless, and for you, you've literally not stopped. Like, I feel like we've barely seen each other, let alone anything else.
Yeah, well, yeah. And this is one of the things that, like, when I realised all the things that I want to do, I was like, this is one thing that I do want to make time for. So,
oh yay, we made the cut! Yay! Hooray!
Otherwise, this would be really awkward. We do one episode and be like,
I was gonna say, are you breaking up with me?
No. this is the kickoff of season two of
Yay!
One for the Raid.
We'll stick with us. One for the road. We'll continue to be on the road.
So sorry for this bumper, slightly rambly episode, but you know, it's been 3 months.
Same
so
style.
Soz, not soz.
Same style, I
Yeah. more of this to come. So yeah, get in touch. Tell us that you loved our rambling. We're going to, you know, pay attention to our social media channels again now because they've also had a bit of a break. Just, you know, pinned a tweet and left it alone. So on Inst, what do we use?
I love that you went into this so positively, and I was like, I don't think we should promise these things. Let's not overpromise.
Okay, we're might trying be really one hard, tweet people. A week.
We're trying really hard.
Yeah, we'll try harder.
Yeah,
we'll go from nothing to one. It's fine.
It's OFTR podcast.
Yeah, yeah? On Instagram and Twitter. At the end of the last season, I promised that we were going to get onto Snapchat. I'm going to retract that because I actually, one, don't care about Snapchat, and two, have deleted it from my phone, so it's physically impossible.
Have you though? Because I really like using those funny filters.
I like the filters, but again, what for?
Well, although I did the funniest face swap of my life the other day.
Our face swap is funny, but you can, there's an app that does that that's not Snapchat.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also, because like Instagram stories came out, and I'm not 15, so Instagram won. saw Snapchat.
Interesting social experiment.
Yeah.
I love that I've turned 15 now because you were playing me down.
You can do that.
No, I don't want to.
We're on Facebook. If you just search for One for the Road podcast, you can email us, oftrpodcast@gmail.com. Obviously, subscribe on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Which sounds like the end of a podcast.
That was.
Which I'm just going to plug anyway, even though they've probably got like a million times more listeners than us. But if you don't listen to The Guilty Feminist, it's like
the
best podcast. It's like everything that's good about radio and women and feminism and podcasting.
And comedy.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
So good. And I think that's it.
Stay in touch.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.